Turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. The Bible says he became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the death on the cross, perhaps in your mind and mine, we might think that that was sufficient to pay for our sins. But before Jesus went to that cross, he was mocked, he was tormented, he was abused by some people. I do not understand how God could allow this, but I can't understand how Christ could die for my sins either, because I don't deserve it, and you don't either. There are some people in this passage that we're going to meet today. One of them is a man named Pilate. We've talked about him a little bit already. Pilate makes an unbelievable statement. If you look at verse 10, right in the middle of the verse, he says, "I have power." Jesus in verse 11 says, "You could have no power at all except it were given thee from above." The very fact that Pilate is in that position to where he can make a decision is only because God allowed it. Do you know that you have power today? We talked about this a little last Sunday morning. You have power to make decisions. You have a power to choose how to use your life, how to use your years and your months and your days and your hours. Every day we have choices that we can make that God gives us the power to make. I hope we choose right, because these men did not, and there are consequences for wrong choices. Pilate is one of the folks involved. The soldiers are involved. The chief priests are mentioned in verse 6. The word Jews in verse 7 usually refers not just to Israelites in general, but to those that practice Judaism, which is their religion. And the people in this particular question said plainly in verse 7 that Jesus had made himself the Son of God. No, he was the Son of God, and he is the Son of God. And they rejected that idea. They did not, none of the people in this passage allowed or accepted who Jesus was. They did not let him have the authority or the respect that he deserved. And instead, they treated him like a common criminal or worse. And ultimately, they cried out, "Crucify him," in verse 6. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read John chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Actually, we're through 11, and we'll stop and have a word of prayer. The Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse 1, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands. Pilate, therefore, went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him. I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have the law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?' Jesus answered, 'Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning. Seems as if you've ordered the service. The music we sang today talked about Calvary and the fact that Christ died for our sins. And Lord, help us today. Don't just work in our mind, but work in our heart. And I pray that your Spirit would do that work. I pray that you would do a work in our church, that we'd understand after all that you've done for us, the least we can do is to serve you with our life. God, I pray that you'd bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a word in verse 1 that just kind of comes and goes real quick, and you kind of know what it means. It's the word scourged. It was a practice that the Romans had that what it comes down to is torture to see if they could get someone to tell the truth. The Old Testament foresaw this day in graphic detail, and you don't need to turn there, but in Psalm 129 in verse 3, the Bible says, "The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows." Isaiah chapter 50 in verse 6 says, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." In Isaiah 53:5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You read verse 11, it surely does jump out. The Lord Jesus Christ tells Pilate that he could have no power except it were given him. And then he says at the end of the verse, "He that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Would not want to stand before God in judgment one day like Pilate will and have to confess to the fact that I took the Son of God and sent him to be abused by Roman soldiers. I would not want to stand before God one day as one of those Roman soldiers and have to confess to the fact that I made a crown of thorns and put it on his head in order to torment him, or that I plucked out his beard, or that I slapped him, or that I mocked him, or that I blindfolded him and hit him and then asked him to prophesy who it was that smote him. Wouldn't want to stand before God one day like the chief priests that looked up and saw him after he had been abused like this and his face swollen, his beard gone, blood running down his forehead from the thorns that were in that crown, and then instead of delivering him, crying out, "Crucify him." But I think we need to understand something. And Isaiah 53 makes it clear. He was bruised for our transgressions. You and I can read verse 11 and we can say, "I'm sure glad I didn't deliver him." But we did. And he was willing to endure all of that. He was willing to suffer physical torment, mockery for us. We can see how these folks treated him, how Pilate treated him, how the soldiers treated him, how the Jews treated him. But my question would be, how do we treat him? Amen? How do we treat him? How do we treat him in our life? You can see three things pretty obviously here. Pilate took authority that he should not have taken. It came from God. We understand that all this was done so our sins could be paid for, but it doesn't make it right. And again, it's just almost as if it's casually mentioned in verse 1. Pilate took him and scourged him. He assumed authority over him to have him beaten. And it's awfully hard to even think about that, because when you love somebody, you don't want to see him suffer. used to live in North Dallas back in 1991. And fall of that year, my son was born. And without getting into all the details, they had to do some things to him a couple of days after his birth. And I still remember driving across Dallas in an amazing thunderstorm, lightning all across the sky. And every time you see a lightning storm, you just think of God's power, don't you? And thunder, and they have some... I'm not sure who has better thunderstorms, Phoenix or Dallas, but it's a close contest. And driving through that lightning storm, and I got to the hospital just as they were working on him, and they had to put him on a board that held him from moving, and so he couldn't fight against them, and then he was screaming as they worked on him. You don't like to see anybody you love suffer. But the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. And in that moment when they're suffering, you would say to yourself, I would do anything to stop that suffering. I would take their place. I'd give anything I can to keep them from suffering. And folks, if you understand what's happening, you just turn that around and realize this. Jesus did whatever was necessary to keep you and I from suffering in hell for all eternity. He loved us. He knew what suffering we would have to endure. And you need to make this personal. He knew the suffering you would have to endure. And so he was willing to go through this horrible, horrible trial to spare us. If he would do that for us, what should we do for him? It amazes me how people treat Jesus. Now, you got two crowds here, and the crowd we're looking at in this passage is not the disciples. These are not the folks that followed him. These are the folks that rejected him. And they're a portrayal of the world. And if you look and see how the world treats the Lord Jesus Christ, you see it all right here. For example, they do not recognize him as the Son of God. I want you to know something. You can call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself anything you want to. But if you deny that Jesus is the Son of God, that's blasphemy. That's a horrible sin. The cults are guilty of it. Islam is guilty of it. That's the way the world treats Jesus today. Ah, he was just somebody. Nobody special, just somebody that happens to... No, he's the Son of God, who came to die and pay for our sins. Pilate doesn't accept or doesn't understand his authority. I can't comprehend having to admit to sending Jesus off to be beaten by soldiers. And Pilate knew good and well what was going to happen. He knew these men quite well. And as we've mentioned to you before, Pilate was notorious for dealing with people in a very heavy-handed manner. John, who presents this gospel in a way that shows the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, does not get that graphic into what happened in those soldiers' chambers that day. Matthew is quite graphic. I won't get into it right now. It hurts me to even think about it. Mr. Mendez and I were talking yesterday about this, or Friday, and about times when people have demonstrated what scourging is all about. I think Psalms 129 says it as best as anybody could. The plowers plowed upon my back. No, Pilate rejected his authority. He did nothing to prevent him from being hurt. He delivered him into that injury. And folks, when you and I live our life and sin and don't think about it, if we do, and I pray you don't, you're doing the same thing he did. You deliver the Lord Jesus Christ to be tormented. By his stripes we are healed. But because of us, he had to accept those stripes. So Pilate sends him to the soldiers. The soldiers treated him like a common criminal. They put the crown of thorns on his head. They tormented him. They mocked him. They plucked his beard. We see that in Matthew. They cried, "Hail, King of the Jews," mockingly. Folks, he is the King of the Jews. In fact, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one by one, those soldiers will stand before him one day. But here's what's amazing to me. He died for them too. Wow. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But Corinthians makes it very clear, he died for all. You say, well, what if someone doesn't receive him? He still loved them. He still sacrificed and suffered for them so that they could be saved. As I've told you many times, don't ever say it's God's fault that somebody goes to hell. God did everything he could to keep them out of hell, as you see right here. And if they go to hell, it won't be his fault. Pilate rejected his authority. Pilate took authority over him. And here's the interesting thing, and he says it twice, and he said it before. In verse 4, he says, "I find no fault in him." He says in verse 6, "I find no fault in him." That makes it even more wicked. If he's innocent, he should have been delivered. Somebody says, "There's nothing wrong with Jesus. I just don't want him to tell me what to do." You're just like Pilate. You're taking authority. And for a season, God gives you that power, like he gave Pilate power, but that season's going to come to an end. You and I, God gives you and I day after day for as long as he chooses. And each of those days, we can decide what to do with it. We can decide to honor him. We can decide to hear from him by reading the Bible. We can decide to talk to him by praying. We decide to serve him in many different ways, by telling folks about him or by ministering to believers or whatever it might be. Day by day, we have a choice. We have power today. One day, his power is going to be exercised. And if we have lived a life for him, it will be rewarded. And if we have not, then we're going to suffer loss. How you spend your day is how you treat the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate assumed authority over him. The soldiers treated him as a common criminal. They wounded his head with thorns. They mocked him. They treated him in a horrible way, not at all as he deserves to be treated. They treated him just like any other man. How special is Jesus to you? He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our God. He's our Creator. He promised never to leave us or forsake us. He's our strength. He's our provider. By his stripes, we are healed. I'll just go on record and tell you right now, there are people that claim that that's talking about physical healing from diseases. I know that Jesus has the power to heal, and that's a story for another day, but he's talking about healing us from our sins. So the soldiers mistreated him. And then look what happens in verse 5. After that, Jesus came forth. He's got the crown of thorns on his head. He's got the purple robe. This is all a mockery. It's just to insult him and to abuse him. And Pilate brings him back out and shows him to the people and says, "Behold the man." You know what he's saying? "Look what I did to him. Maybe that's enough. I find no fault in him. There's nothing wrong with him. You don't like him. I've had him tortured. Let's just call it a day." Pilate was still willing to let Jesus go if they would back away. Now look at this in verse 6. But here's what happened. The chief priests, therefore, and officers, and those are the Jewish elite in their religion, they saw him and they cried out. Seeing him suffer, seeing him mocked, seeing what he had been through, his beard's been plucked out, and they've smote him on the cheeks, and so his face is swollen and he's bloody. And they say, "Crucify him." You know what that is? That's hatred. (Clears throat) There are people that will stand before God one day having hated his son. Do you love him? You know, what you do shows whether you love him. 1 John talks about that quite a lot, and John makes the comment. He says, if you say that you love the Lord, but you don't love your neighbor, he says, how can you say that you love someone you haven't seen when you don't love the people you have seen? The way we treat others is the way we treat the Lord. I think one of the most wicked things I've seen in my life, and I've seen some pretty wicked things, is people that pretend to be the greatest of Christians and treat other people like garbage. And it happens. But you haven't got to be deliberately, although some are, deliberately ornery or deliberately hateful or spiteful towards folks. Just a failure to be kind to one another is a failure to be kind to God. They cry out, crucify him. Pilate says in verse 6, I find no fault in him. And then, this is the last thing we're going to spend much time on here. He says in verse 7, the Jews answered him, we have a law. Oh boy. And by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. You know what they're saying? We know what he taught. We just don't like it. We know he told us he was the Son of God. He made it very clear, but we didn't believe it. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him heal the blind. We saw him do miracle after miracle and feed the 5,000 and then feed some more folks and heal folks that couldn't walk, the lame. And we saw him do miracle after miracle, things only God could do, but we don't believe he's God. Romans chapter 1 says, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Somebody's going to stand before God and say, oh, I thought evolution was true. Folks, that's one of the most foolish concepts known to man. I overuse this illustration, but it's so vivid to me. I read it in a book about 25 years ago. You've heard me say it before. Two fellows walking along, they find a watch on the ground, and one picks the watch up and says, isn't this amazing that nature did this? It's got numbers on it, and the hands move, and it's got gears in it. Wow, isn't nature incredible? And the other one says, come on. Somebody made that. Nature didn't do that. Nature doesn't do things that way. Can I tell you something? A watch is nothing compared to a human hand, or a human eye, or a human ear, or a human mind, or a human heart, or life. And I'll tell you this. You can look all you want on every planet there is. That doesn't change the fact that Christ created us. No, people that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, like these folks, they knew what he taught, and there was plenty of evidence to back it up. They just didn't want to hear it. Now, as you go on, and I'm not going to get in detail here, but I want to just look at these last couple of verses. That scared Pilate in verse 8, and he went inside and asked Jesus, and Jesus didn't answer him, and that's when he makes that statement in verse 10. He says, I have power to crucify thee. And then Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And I like verse 12. Pilate sought to release him. He really didn't want this accountability. But the Jews cried out. And he was more concerned about what people thought than doing right. And they made an issue. They made an amazing statement. And we'll look at this a little bit more next week. But they say in verse 15, we have no king but Caesar. They'd rather be subjected to dominance by the Romans than follow the Son of God. How we treat Jesus makes a big difference in our life, folks. It's painful to see how some people treat him, but I can ask you a question. Do you respect his authority? Do we hear what he has to say and follow him? And let's take a positive tack on this, if we could. Let's put it this way. Aren't you glad you know what he wants you to do, and aren't you glad you do it? Amen? We live in a day when so many people are so selfish, and here's the decision they make. They say to themselves, I could not find happiness by following God, so I'm going to follow sin instead. I couldn't find happiness by coming to church and hearing his word preached. I'd be happier if I did something else. I couldn't find happiness by telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, so I'm going to go do something else. How do they treat Jesus? As if he's not special, as if he's not capable, as if he doesn't deserve better. Aren't you glad you do what he says? Sometimes people are just like Pilate. They know there's nothing wrong with him. They know he doesn't deserve to be treated poorly, but they're just too worried about what the world's going to think of him. What do you think we ought to be more worried about, what the world thinks of us or what God thinks of us? Amen? So in the end, we continue next week and we'll look at the crucifixion. But what it all comes down to is this. God gave some people some power and they used it the wrong way. But today, God's given you and I some opportunity, some power, some authority, let me use that proper word, to choose what to do with our life. The very first choice you need to make, please, if I lost you somewhere, please come back and listen just for a second. The most important choice you need to make, the one that makes every difference in your situation for all eternity is, will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says, God is able. You see, what our sin did was our sin sent him to the cross. What his blood did is his blood cleansed us from all sin. So to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The most important decision you can make, and God gives you the opportunity, is to decide to accept Jesus as your Savior. But there's something that goes along with that so closely, and we're going to look at it tonight a little bit in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, repent. We were sitting in Bible class last week, and we were talking about Noah. The Bible says Noah called on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what God did when he described Noah? He said, this man was righteous. But he didn't just say it that way. In Hebrews, he said, the righteousness which is by faith. Somebody says, I believe Jesus died to pay for my sins. Praise God. That's how you get saved. But now that you have received him as your Savior, how are you going to treat him? Is he going to be just like somebody else in your life, the way Pilate treated him? Or is he going to be unimportant to you? Or are you going to let him lead you? Amen? It's a decision that must be made. How am I going to live my life? And I put a little something in the back of the bulletin just thinking about that, because some of us have more life behind us than we have ahead of us. And as you know, I talk to a teenager about this and their eyes roll back in their head. They don't get this. But there'll be a day when you're 60 or 70 and you'll realize I have already invested my life in something. Maybe whether it was making money or having a good time or serving the Lord, I've already invested my life in something. And isn't it a blessing, Brother Mendez, to be able to say, I'm glad I invested my life in God. Now, these young people here today, in their teens or maybe early 20s, they've got their whole life ahead of them. I haven't decided, Brother Hill, if you're young or old. Which one are you? Do you know? See, you don't know either, do you? Yeah, I feel old all the time, if that helps any. But you know what? You got a lot of life left ahead of you, don't you? You know, in fact, the Bible says there were some folks working in a vineyard, and the guys that came in at the 11th hour, they still had the opportunity to have a full day's pay. You know, it doesn't really matter how old you are. You can still use the rest of your life for God. And that's what God wants. But it's sure nice to be able to look back and say, I'm glad I invested my life in God. What more worthwhile thing could there be? I would encourage you, just as you think about what the Lord has said here in this passage, you can see how some people treat him. You can see what our sin did to him. You can see what he was willing to endure for us. Wouldn't a reasonable person say, someone who loves me that much, that they would go through that for me, to save me, to keep me from suffering, I'd like to please them with my life. And then, if we're honest, we have to admit there are some things in our life that the devil has snuck in somewhere along the way. We need to ask the Lord to take them back out. There's some things in our life that may not be what they ought to be. We need to ask God to change them. And how amazing is it that he's willing to do that as well? I don't like to hear how people treated Jesus on this day. I know why he allowed that to happen, to save me. I know. I don't like to see how they treated him on this day. But I also don't like to see how people treat him in our day. The world is just like these folks. I don't expect great things from them, except I hope they get saved. But folks, you and I are better than that. Christ came into our heart, and we know how we ought to treat him. We know the authority he ought to have. We know we ought to serve him. We know we ought to love him, and how can you not? And I would hope that when you read about the suffering of Christ, you would just think about how much he did for us and how little he asks of us, really. How much he still does for us, amen? He just wants us to love him and to let him have his will in our life. And I hope you'll do that. Let's all stand and pray.